Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. This is the Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Trader Cobb Crypto Show. I hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. If it's the start of your day, if it's the end of your day, I hope you have a good night's sleep. Wanted to go through quickly and let you know a few things. We've been waiting for Bitcoin. Have we been waiting? By Jingo, by George, we have been. The 2 day still looks fantastic. I just want to see it sit there and do not a great deal for a little while. It's looking quite good at the moment. I don't want to see it move lower. I don't want to see it move higher just yet. I want to wait until 10 a.m. Then I want to see the next candle over the next 2 days be a small bullish candle in that cradle zone. So while we sit there and we go, well, hang on, there's nothing there to be trading on Bitcoin as such based on the strategies that I employ to make my money, what else have we been up to? Well, I can tell you right now that a number of my clients and, in fact, one of my apprentices, perhaps even both of them, I haven't spoken to the other one today, but they've been doing very well, and they're actually doing better than me. And that's the interesting thing about where I sit and what I do. I don't trade as often as many of the people that that I teach. And it's just because my styles change, you know. Like, I'll tell you one thing right now. When I first started, geez, I was trading like a mad dog. I was taking loads of trades all the way down to the 5 minute time frame, even lower sometimes. I remember trading the YM, which is the mini Dow contract, and trading on the 1 and 2 minute. Absolutely loved it. Same with the ES, which is the mini S&P futures contract. It was generally the YM and the ES that I would trade in those 1 and 2 minute time frames, but I was just a mad dog. I'd trade all the time. I used to have the Squawk box, which would be plugged into, I think it was the New York Stock Exchange, so you could actually hear the sound and the vibe. You know, you could feel it coming. It was really, it was fairly intuitive. We still did have strategies, of course, but we'd also be using things like tick charts and also, what was the other thing? It was, I can't remember what it was called, but it was like, when the buyers had met a certain point, they'd be overbought. Like, it wasn't an RSI type indicator, but it was something to do with the amount of buyers and sellers. Anyway, we had different strategies for trading that market on those super low time frames. Now, I used to trade heaps. I didn't take as many screenshots back then, I'll be honest, because it was too fast-paced trading that market. Nowadays, I've become an old man trader. I trade less, but when I do trade, I have a higher probability of success. I'm very, very measured. And there's a lot of people that are in my Slack group right now that have done my courses that are trading more than me. And, you know, people come into the group and they say, look, what about this, this, and this? And I'm like, yeah, that's all fine. But I'm not going to take that trade. I'm like, why not? And I don't want to influence their decision. This is the whole thing. I need them to get their own belief in themselves. You know, you think about if I say to somebody, oh, look, I'm not taking that trade. Some people would go, well, I'm not taking it either. If Trader Cobb's not taking that trade, then neither am I. I don't want that. So the way I answer it is by saying, look, I'm not going to take this trade because it's just not my style. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't take the trade. You got to back yourself. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to take some stinkers, but you're going to also do well with some of them. Case in point was the Ethereum Classic trade. I put a call out yesterday to my members. It was a beautiful pullback. I was looking for a Fibonacci booster on the 1 hour time frame, pulling back up into $15.71. which coincided with the 61.8% Fib. Now, this is you know, amongst other things, it was a couple of the rules that I look for a Fibonacci booster trade. Now, I didn't take that. It didn't actually get there. Like, I had the order raise. It didn't quite get there. But there was a little 60-minute cradle. It pulled back up into the 50%, right back into that 10-period moving average. And I was actually coming back from the city. I just done an interview with somebody in the city, and my apprentice Luke said, "Would you take this?" And I'm like, "Look, you know, for me, I'm waiting." He did take that. Now he's probably got about an 8-to-1 out of that. When I say 8-to-1, I mean that it's 8 times the risk multiple. So that means if he's risked $100, then he's set to have made $800 in that scenario. Not a bad return for one trade. Absolutely not. Now, of course, he's probably scaled out all the other details. Blah blah blah. That's not the point. The point is he took a trade that I didn't take, and I told him that I wasn't going to take that trade. He took it because he backed himself and it fit the rules for him. And it did fit the rules. This is rules-based trading, but it's still discretionary trading, guys. Every single time I see one of the setups, I don't just take it. And that's up to me. It's up to you as well. It's how I manage my portfolio. The things that I like to look for are good swing trades where I can get into them and I can let them go for days, weeks, and hopefully months for a runner so I can get an absolutely beast man move. Now, we've had a number of those this year. The best as far as risk multiple multiplier was EOS against Bitcoin. There was actually two trades within 5 days. The first one set up, the next day, bam. So 2 days after that, bam, we were one-to-one, minimize the risk. Then about 3 days after that, another one set up, a perfect little cradle for which we could absolutely take that again. Many of my members took the second one, not the first one. The second one had a smaller candle. The second one was a 29-to-1. The first one was, I think, 24-to-1 risk multiple. Now, even when you scale out at 1-to-1 and minimize your risk, so you have $0 risked on the table, that still equates to, one trade. Well, I broke all the numbers down. One trade, if you risk $1,000 on each trade, you were break even on each trade after a few days, so no risk anymore. And then those two trades would have totaled, I think it was about $40,000. All right, two trades. Now, bring that back at $100, not $1,000. Still $4,000 off two trades. The risk multiple in this market is insane. You've just got to know, A, what you're looking for, and B, how to go about minimizing your risk. So there's been some fantastic opportunities out there. We also see ETP against the dollar also moving really, really well whilst Bitcoin is not doing a great deal. The IOTA Bitcoin trade that I got short on, earlier in the week, I think it was Monday, is also playing out quite nicely. Of course, I told you, you can still get long Bitcoin without buying Bitcoin. You've just got to short alts against Bitcoin. That's the way we play. That's the way we do it. And if you actually get a good education, I can help you with all of that. And you can actually start to make money, not just by investing in projects that go up, by trading the markets when they go up or down. It's up to you. Maybe put some of your tax refunds to work, guys. Invest in your education and let's keep moving forward, guys. Have a great day. I'm off to the boat show. Bye.
The Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. Check out tradercobb.com because experience matters.